Here we go. Here we go. We're now in Perek Asiri, the 10th chapter of Hilchos Schia Umatana. If Hashem helps us, we can do the whole chapter in one day.
Wow.
It's not such a hard chapter. We finished it. We're moving, guys. Okay, now we're going to discuss more about the confessions of a Shchiv Mara. And the general rule is, when a Shchiv Mara confesses, we assume he tells the truth. But sometimes he may lie so people won't think he's a rich guy and bug his children, the heirs. We'll see all about it coming up in this parak. First halacha is a rather straightforward halacha. Shchiv Mara Sha'amar, if a Shchiv Mara says, Tenu mone leploni, give $100 to so-and-so. Now, he doesn't say this $100, he just says $100 to so-and-so. And it's done in a way where it works as a gift of a Shchiv Mara, with other details that are required, that it is a gift of a Shchiv Mara. Vameis, and the guy dies, Yitnu lachar misa. You give the guy the $100 after he dies. Why? Shedivrei Shchiv Mara, kiksuvim kibsurin domi. The words of a Shchiv Mara are as good as it being written and given over to the person. Okay, so either we're speaking where he's giving all his assets, which is $100, or where he's giving it as a gift because he knows he's going to die, right? So then it works after his death, as opposed to if it's not all of it, then it's a gift of a live person, then its gift is in his lifetime. We're just saying it's like a regular gift of a Shchiv Mara. Now, what might you have thought? Why didn't you be more specific? Which $100? You know, so we might have thought ve'ein chosh, but we don't concern shema almana kovra. Maybe he gave him $100 that's buried somewhere that no one knows where it is. Yeah, I gave you $100, but not this $100. I gave you $100 that's buried somewhere, and we're not exactly sure. But rather, we give him the $100 from the assets that we see. So that's the point. In other words, we assume he meant to give him $100. That's the point. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. We don't know. He should have said, well, this specific $100 that's lying on the counter over here, he just said $800. Maybe he's just bluffing him off. And it's he meant $100 buried in the ground. So we assume, again, we assume he's telling the truth, and therefore it works as a regular gift of a Shchiv Mara. Halacha Beis has many, many interesting points all in this one halacha coming up here. Remember we learned a few times already the concept of ma'amad shloshtam. If I owe you money, if A owes B, B can turn to A and say, I'd like you to give money you owe me to C, either because B owes C or he just wants to gift it to C. And you don't have to do any kinyan, anything, but what you need is all three people have to be together. And it's one, if they, all three of them agree that what A owes B goes to C, all three are there, we say it doesn't really have any halachic logic to it, but it's a takonis rabbanon, and that works. Now that's the general thing, but what has to be is that all three guys have to be together. That's got to be. If you don't got that, it doesn't work. So let's say the Shchiv Mara wants to do this very same type of transaction of a mamad shloshtan, but the other two people aren't there. And he wants to say, Chaim Yankel, let's say, owes me money. So I want the money that Chaim Yankel owes me to go to Shmerel upon my death, you know, a gift of a Shchiv Mara. He wants to do a mamad shloshtan without the critical component of the three people there, of the two people. So let's see what it says. V'chein Shchiv Mara Sha'amar. If a Shchiv Mara says, Halva, either it was a loan owed to me, O Pikadon, or someone's holding on to something for me. Sheyesh L'biyad Ploni, that I belong to me, but it's somebody else's hands, and I want the somebody else to know, so give it to a third party. It's really mine, just give it to the third party. Dvorov Kayomim, his words are maintained. Vein tzarech lamamid shloshtan. He doesn't need to have all three people there. Because we now say that, not only do we say that the words of a Shchiv Mara is as if something was written and given over, we say the words of a Shchiv Mara are as if the other two guys were there. That's how far we go to alleviate his concerns as he's in his dying moments. speak, it's chiddush. All halacha of shemra is a chiddush.
That's the first one is rabbinic, right? The three guys that was.
Yep. Okay, yep.
So
yep.
Then I can do what
they okay. Want. Now, the second law. These are all exceptions we make for the shemra. Second law is if let's say somebody has a shtar, IOU, right? IOU. Let's say I have an IOU. He owes me $100, and I'm owning it, and I can collect $100, and the guy owes me the money. Let's say I'd like to sell my shtar to somebody else or gift my shtar to somebody else. I cannot just take the shtar and just give it to the other guy because the shtar is really worthless. There's nothing to make a kinyan on it. What do you have to do? You have to write a new shtar
to say
that this shtar is now given over to the other fellow. That's the way you transfer a IOU to a third party. Now he can go and collect from the other guy. Now, there's another important halacha.
Does the other guy need to know that you're changing who collects?
He doesn't need to know. Witnesses? Yeah, of course. You have to write a shtar. I just said you have to write a shtar. There's witnesses on that shtar. Right? Here's the shtar. Here, Howard Starr owes me $100. Here's
Starr.
The shtar. So I'm going to give it to Martin.
Yeah,
and I'm going to write another shtar saying that I gave the shtar to Martin and he can collect from Howard Shtar.
Wow.
Okay? So now, you have to do that. Now, there's one other thing that could happen. Even though I gave the shtar to Martin, who does Howard still owe the money to?
You.
To me. All I gave or sold to Martin is right to collect the shtar from Shtar. But, so what if I decide after Martin... I'd say it was $100. I said, Martin, I'll give you a good deal. For $50, I'll sell you the shtar, and you can collect $100. So it gives me the $50 like that.
Yeah, like that.
And then I figure I say, Howard, I'm moichel the debt.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Now,
no.
If I do that, your paper is worthless.
It's
not even worth the paper it's written on.
But you can now go to me and try to collect from me the $150 you gave me. You could try.
I could try.
Okay. Anyway, so that's the normal law of selling an IOU. Now, let's say we're talking about a Shchiv Mara now, and the Shchiv Mara has one of these IOUs. So we're going to see all these rules get waived for him as well. And he can just say, you know, he owes me $100. You can collect it. Finished.
Done.
And not that you owe me, you know,
no,
it's just, it's I'm just, I'm transferring.
Transfers no shtar.
The shtar. You get the shtar. You get the shtar. There's
without
a shtar. There has
without,
to be a shtar.
Without writing another shtar.
You get the shtar.
Just hands it over.
The Chayini Mamar, if he says, to new shtar, give this shtar to so-and-so upon my death. You know, that's the gift. Zocha b'mashevzar, he zocha, the person acquires what is written in the shtar that is owed. Uke'ilun, it says, if Kosav, he wrote a new shtar, Umasar, and gave over the new shtar, Afa Bishlo Moshech Ashtar, even though the guy didn't even pull the shtar into his domain. Now, let's think for a minute now. Now, what if normally, if a guy did that, a healthy guy did that, and then he dies, right? So can his inheritors be mochel on the shtar?
No.
So normally they can, but here they can't. Ve'ena yoresh yochel limchol shtar zeh shenita v'mat neshkiv mara. But the inheritors cannot be mochel the shtar that was given of the gift of a shkiv mara, even though the shkiv mara could have been mochel the loan in his lifetime. But they can't. Now, here's the interesting point. One second. Now, only a Yerush, right? Yeah. Aval, one second. Now, Rambam asks. Umipinah ha-mocher onosin shtarchov v'chaver v'chazer mechola ha-Yerush mochel. What if a guy normally sells or gives a shtarchov to his friend, and now he backs out, and he is mochel v'chazer u'mechola ha-Yerush, it's mochel. We see that an inheritor can be mochelit. How come this gift of a shchiv mara can't be mochel? Because the whole content of this shtar that's written, right? It's not a real thing, because the fact you owe someone, it's not a real thing that you're giving. It's just a debt. It's not a real thing. Levi Hayerish Adayin Ze Hashtar Shalom Min HaTorah. So since the Yorish, the inheritor, he gets it. So again, so this Kenyan, the Kenyan that's there is only rabbinic. Again, let's go back. The Kenyan that you're making on this is only rabbinic because there's nothing really there. And therefore, the Yorish who gets the Shtar, he gets it Min HaTorah and he wants to be Moichelet. He can't be moichelet because the inheritor inherits daraisa from a father, so he can knock it out. He can moichelet. Umat neshkimra, but the gift of shkimra is also rabbinic. So also so we made it like biblical. Okiinu kona moment shabashter mina Torah. It's like he acquired the money from the shtar daraisa.
Wow.
The Torah makes it like a real thing. Vigilat and really got to sand. And the Yerush has no kinyan at all. In other words, normally when a guy gives over a shtar to somebody else, and then the guy, the father, dies, the kids still have the power of ownership that they can be mochel on it, because the whole kinyan is only to Rabbanan to begin with.
However,
but with a shkimara, we give it super status. And we say it's as if a mamish was given over completely, and even on a biblical level, totally. And now the kids can't be moichel.
Well, isn't that
so, that, so that's how
mind?
Far. Yes, that's all part of the peace of mind. That even if the kids cannot knock it off afterwards. So those are all the exceptions rule. Ulfika, yeah. Yeah, I think I did it all. Yeah. It's yes, all I read it all. Gimel. Gimel. That was the hard part of the pair. Now that it flies. Hopefully. Shkiv mara sha'omer mona leploni biyadi. Shkimra says there's $100 of somebody else that I have in my possession, right? So then what does that mean? It means he's trying to say we should
give it back.
You give him $100,
yeah,
right?
$100.
Imamar, if he says tenu, he adds on give it to him. Then nosim, we give it to him. We can give it to him in his death, right? But Lomer, because we assume he's telling the truth, because he says give it to him. But what if Lomer, what if he doesn't say give it to him? He just says, you know, there's $100 by me that belongs to somebody else. Enos, we don't give it to that guy. Now why? Here's what we say is the exception to the rule. Because Shema Lomer, money yesh leplon biyadi el kadesh yomru al yersh shayim moment. Maybe I'm saying that I owe people money, so people won't think that my kids are going to be rich people that inherit a lot of money. He could say about 10 people that. In other words, what?
They're inheriting debt.
In other words, yeah, so people won't go to them and think they can get lots of money from them.
No money left.
A lot of times a father, you know, when he's dying, won't want his children bothered a lot. Everyone thinks, oh, the old man kicked and now they're rich and wealthy and the kids are going to get bugged and all that stuff. So he's trying to make it look like he's poor. So therefore, just the fact says, I owe him $100 and I have $100 of his, that we can't believe it unless he says, give it to him. If he says, give it to him, he wouldn't have gone that far. To say, give it to him, because then we assume he's telling the truth. Lefikach, therefore, Dalit, im Omar is a derech hodah. What if he says it in a way of admission? In other words, it's clear that he really means what he's saying. Lohayabach shash harama. I guess the people there can sense that he's not fooling over here. The no snalfish omar, we would give it to the guy, even though he did not say give it. I guess this is something that's very subjective. If you really feel he's sincere and he's not trying to do any shtick, and he could say, "Oi, what am I going to be? I'm going to go to Gehenna if he doesn't get this $100. Please, please, I owe the guy $100. And he looks very distraught. Even though he didn't say give it, would be nice, would have done, but still we assume that that's what he meant, and that guy gets it.
Could you ask him, do you want us to give it to him?
That'd be a smart thing to ask, but what if they didn't? Everybody's, you know.
Or it says he has no kids, maybe. Not worried about that.
Oh, he has no kids. Then we know there's no feeling of it. Okay,
or maybe
fine.
He has no money to give him. Maybe that's the issue.
Hey, Kiyotze, but similarly, Ra'u esavihem shehitmin mos basara. If people saw their father who hid money b'shida tevo migdol. He hid it in a different type of either a box or a drawer or a little tower or whatever. They saw the father hide the money. But Omar, and he said, before he died, he puts money in a drawer, and he says, "Shall plonihim, it belongs to so-and-so, this money. Shall Meiser Shenihim, it's Meiser Shen, has to go to Yerushalayim." So, obviously, this is not something the kids could inherit, if he's telling the truth. So, Im Kamoser, Dvarv, if he's sincere in what he's saying, Im Kamoser, if he's sincere, Dvarv, his words stay as they are. People see this, he's doing this, and it goes to Ma'aser Sheni, it goes to somebody else. Vim Kamar, but it looks like he's doing it, so he shouldn't look like a rich guy. Again, this is all going to be subjective. Lomar Klum, he said nothing, and it doesn't get transferred. Vav. V'cheinim ba echad. Let's say one guy comes. Important, one and not two. Okay? We're going to see. One will need a migu, you'll see. Two could testify on their own. That's why it's saying one. One guy comes, Ramalan says, Ani ra'isias avicham shehit min mos v'shita teva migdol v'amr shablan. A guy comes afterwards. We don't know anything. We're just a guy. After the father dies, he comes in, an eid echad. I want you to know, I saw your father hide money in a box something, and he said it belongs to somebody. It's not the father who's saying it. It's a witness. One witness who
after
said
this. After the father died.
Or shel meiser, or was meiser. So now, that's what he says. So, if they were hidden in a place that was in the house, then he hasn't said anything, because we don't believe a one witness, just because he says something, we don't believe him. Never. We don't believe one witness or anything. But what if we find this item, even though he may have put it in a box, but that box wasn't in the house, but it was in the field, where now, if he wanted to, he could have stolen it himself.
Sure.
If it's in the house, a guy can't go, a stranger just can't go into a house. But he says, you know, I saw your father, he put it in a field, in a box in a field, so and so far away, and he said it belongs to somebody. Now we're going to believe him, because now there's a miku. Because if he was lying, if he's a rotten creep, he could have just walked in, taken money, and told nobody
would have known the difference.
The general rule is, if he was able to have taken it anyway without saying anything, his words are believed when he says, it really belongs to somebody else. But he wouldn't be able to take it on his own, as if he said nothing. Okay, next. Let's say the guy is in pain. On the money that his father put, and he doesn't know where he hid them. Oh yeah, this is the case now. The son says, you know, I know my father hid some money. I don't know where he hid it.
Yeah.
Father was a Holocaust survivor. You know, it's interesting stories. After the parents died, you know, you go pulling out the things for the air conditioning, the little vent. Pull out the vent, stick your hand all the way in. It's $10,000 over there.
Really?
Anyway, there's tons of money that has been hidden that no one will ever find from Holocaust survivors who died. Anyway, so the son was in great pain because he knows his father left some money somewhere and he doesn't know where it is. And now he tells us the following. But Amr Bachlom, he goes to the Bezdin and he says, and my father came to me in a dream. And he said, kach v'kach. So and so money, this is what it is, and the makom plonie, and it's, you know, under the radiator, you know, it was hidden under the thing. But then his father in the dream added one more thing: v'shal plonie, they belong to Shmerel.
Wow.
Or v'shal meiser shein, they belong to meiser shein. Yes, there's $10,000 hidden, and it was exactly buried underneath the well. So and so, such and such, and it belongs to Shmerel. Well, the guy wakes up, he runs to the well, he digs up. And there it is, $10,000. Now he goes to the Bez. And Umatsan Bamakam Plani Shanemar Lobinja. It's exactly the place and exactly the amount of money the father said it was. So the Rambam says he didn't make it up. Zel Yomais, it was a story in the Gemara. This was a story in the Gemara. Rabbi's Paskin, Divrei Chalomos, dreams, Momalim Velomorim, don't give you or take away money.
Wow.
Dreams are not admissible evidence.
Wow.
So now the kid can keep the money because it's his father's money, right?
Really?
And yes, we're not talking it was buried under Shmerel's house because then Shmerel's dead.
I know.
The father hid it under the well in the backyard.
Do we go with that?
But you don't understand.
I understand.
Let's say the father, a dream is not admissible with testimony because not all dreams are completely true. Number one. So what really happened? The son lucked out. The father leaked him the information, but the fact that it belongs to somebody else, you know, listen, if the son wants to, and he has a big conscience, if he wants to be a generous guy, he can give the other guy. But in terms of halacha, we do not accept the dream. The fact the dream told him where it was, fine. But it doesn't mean he loses the pro. You don't lose and transfer ownership because of a dream. Okay, now.
Shiv Mirah Shahida,
a Shkimra who confesses, and we don't doubt his sincerity, Sheesh Leploni Biyado Mona. There was, let's see now, that he's holding $100 to somebody, right? So in other words, the Shkimra says, I owe somebody $100, and it's here. But then, and then he dies. And now the other guy wants to collect the money.
The
orphans of the guy who just died, Chazer v'Omer, they say, Chazer v'Omavinu, our father told us afterwards of that admission, he said, I paid it.
Paid him off.
In other words, the father said like this, you know, when I get older, you know, they a little dementia, a little forget, in and out. So the father said, first he said on his deathbed, I owe the guy $100. Then the kid said, you know, but a little bit before he died, he said, I thought I owed him $100. Now that I remember, I paid him back 5 years ago. So I don't owe him the money. So on the one hand, he said to everybody he owes him the money.
And then to the kids afterwards.
And then the kids, it's not that we heard the guy. The kids saying this, right? Nemanim, they're believed, v'nishboin, and they make an oath, alzeh shvuas heses, they have to make a rabbinic oath on this. That's a kofer bakol. And that's only when the claimant claims that no, that he's for sure that the father owes him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to make a shvuas heses at all. Now, one second.
Who are we saying swears?
The kids, the Yisomim.
Yeah, right, okay.
1 second. Now, why is that so? Because, let's see, why, what's
they're
the
line? They're denying the Torah. It's not a partial.
The claim.
What?
They're denying the claim.
But the father said he owed it.
Yeah, but then
we know the father said he owed it, right? So how do we know we can believe them?
By the oath.
Yeah, he's paying. They're giving the oath.
Okay, I guess. Okay, because the money hasn't moved yet.
Yeah,
that's the whole idea. It's a
claimant's going to them, and they said, "I never heard of that."
No, they didn't say they never heard of it.
They said we heard it, and he paid. Yeah, okay.
But he then said he paid.
He paid.
So they make a shua tesis. Good test, Omar. What if he says, not just he admits, he says, Tnu, give it to him. V'amr Yisom, and then the orphans say, Chazar for Amr Lano Avinu Paratif. The father came back and said, I'd already paid it.
In that case,
Einemanim, we don't believe him. Because once he says Tnu, that means he was pretty careful with what he said, and he knew he didn't pay him back. And we don't believe to say that afterwards he remembered. Right? Okay.
So there was a certain, when you say tnu,
there's a certainty to it.
There's a certainty to that statement.
Yes.
That you wouldn't say if you weren't sure.
Okay, next. Amar, what if the Shkimra says, Mona Leploni Biyadi, I owe a guy $100. And again, it's a way of confession. Okay, and we know he sincerely means it. For Ami Yisomim, and the Yisomim says, Nasanu, we already paid it for him.
Whoa.
We paid it already. Ain't no money. They're not believed. Sha'arei lo amar tu. He didn't say give it. U'minayin yadu shechayim l'tein. How would they know that they have to give it them? Right? Because they didn't know why. Since he didn't say give.
Then they wouldn't have given.
They wouldn't have given until he says give. So how would they know that they have to give it if he didn't say to give it? Yud Aleph. Amar tenu. What if he said give? What if he said give? We gave it, then we believe them, because they knew. They're believed, and they make an oath, that they gave it again, because then we assume that they're believed. Okay, now there's another halacha called holech. What if a healthy guy says to somebody, here, give this money to this guy.
Well, we know that a woman can do kedushin.
No, forget it. I go to a guy, here, give this money to this guy.
Sure.
So now, when does the ownership transfer hands?
The moment you order him.
No, the moment he gives it over to
When the guy gives it over. That's normally.
Yeah.
All right? So let's say, for example, A tells B, give this money over to C. And before B gets to C, A dies.
Okay.
So now A's children inherit the money.
Yeah.
Even though it got to C, but it got to C after
too
A
late.
Died.
Too late.
It's too late. That's the normal rule. Shchiv Marash and Nosan Monalech of Ramalalech. But if Shchiv Marash says, here's $100, go and give it to the other guy.
Money gets in his hands.
Manazula Ploni, Vahalach, Oh, I'm sorry. It's the reverse. It's either way is worse. V'holach, and he went umatza shemeis. No. The reverse. What if the receiver dies?
Oh no!
Let's reverse it. Oh. Let's say the guy. In other words, let's say a guy A gives to B and says, "Give $100 to C," and before B gets to C, C dies. So then the money reversed to whose children? A's, not C's. But in normal case, because the owner transfer ownership doesn't transfer till it gets into C's hands. But the Shechiv Mara tells B to give it to C. And then C dies before B gets to him.
C's your should get it.
So that's right. So then that case, if C was alive, when A gave it to B,
that's it.
Mishin Shachavoy. Then it gets to the inheritors of the one who was meant to give to him.
That's C's inheritors.
Because he could take it for him. Again, when he speaks, it's like it's given over again. It's like it's given all the way over to C. That's how far it goes. Hey, but if C was not alive when A gave it to B, it goes back to the inheritors of A. Because when a guy's dead, he can't make a kinyan. So that, again, is another exception to the rule of a Shchiv Mara. All right, let's go. Okay, you know what?
I think we should.
Let's stop it over here. It's already 10 o'clock. Let's not overdo it. We're three short. But we did.